morning.
Morning.
Malka, are you the only one on?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Has joined.
Good morning.
Morning.
We will begin with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kodesha Berichu Ishkinteh Bibkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhei Bavavheh V'yichud Ashalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananehu. Today we are studying the fifth Aliyah of Parashah Bo. It's a very short Parashah. It goes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, and completes at verse 28. This is a total of eight verses. The number eight connects to the Sefirah of Bina and Olam Haba, the world that is coming. Verse 21 in Hebrew. Vayikra Moshe lekol ziknei Yisrael. Vayomer aleihem mishkuku. Lachem tzon lemishpechotechem. Lashachatu hapasach. Uchachtem agudat. Ezo utvaltem badam asher basaf vehigatem el hamishko ve'el shetem hamezuzot min hadam asher basaf ve'atem lo teitu ish mi petah beito Ad boker, we avar Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo Lean Gof et Mitzrayim, we ra et Hadam Al Hamashko, we al Shete Hamzuzot Ufasa. Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo Al HaPetach Willo Yiten Amashit Lavo El Batechem Lingo Ushmartem Ed Hadavar Azeh Lehak Lecha uvanecha adolam uchayaki davo el haaretz asher yiten Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo Lachem kasher diber ushmartem et ha'avoda hazot v'chayaki omru alechem b'nechem ma ha'avoda hazot lachem v'amartem Zevach Pesach Ula Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo Asher Pasach Al Batei B'nei Yisrael, B'mitzrayim, B'nagfopo et Mitzrayim, V'et patenu, Itzil v'ikod ham v'yishtachavu. V'yelku v'yasu. B'nei Yisrael ka'asher tziwa Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawanu heyo. Et Moshe v'acharon ken asu. That's the completion of the Hebrew. But I'd like to point out that in verse 7, you have the word Pasach, which is exactly the letters that spell Pesach. The only difference is under the letter Pe is a different vowel. Under the letter Pe is the T, or the Kamatz. And if we go back to the first verse, which we read today, that was in verse 27. And we have the same issue in verse 21, where it's not Pesach, it's Pasach. The vowel, the Kamatz vowel, the little t, is a vowel that connects to the Keter. Whereas Pesach would be a segol, which is the three dots, and that connects to the level of chesed. There is significant understanding in this teaching that initially the idea of Pesach, which can be translated as the living mouth, because Sach, Samachet, is a gematria 68, which is the same as the word Chaim, living, or lives. So Pesach has some significant energy values, as we all know. We spend a lot of preparation for Pesach. We spend a lot of dealing with the issues of the Seder. There's a lot of information, a lot of energy aspects to Pesach. And this vowel change is demonstrating some of that as well. The ultimate question is, if the Torah says Pasach, why do we call it Pesach? And the answer is, elsewhere in the Torah, it has got those vowels, the Pesach. So this is just really just to point it out to you. It's not a full analysis of why that, what these differences are. We would have to look at every location in the Torah, in the Tanakh, where the word Pesach is used. In order to truly understand what I'm pointing out. But it's interesting to note that that's there. So let us look at the English translation. Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw forth or buy for yourselves sheep for your families and slaughter the Passover sacrifice. If you'll remember yesterday, we discussed the idea of taking the sheep and how it represents an energy of certainty. So the real question, another question that we can ask, is why was the aliyot, the various separations between one aliyah and another, between the fourth and the fifth, why was it done in this area of the sheep? It's not like we don't have aliyahs with, it would be a total of 35 verses if we included these eight. And then I'm sure that we could break the sixth and seventh aliyah in different places. I'm not questioning that the sages were not right in making this break here. I'm just asking the question, why was it broken here? Verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and immerse it in the blood that is in the basin. And you shall extend to the lintel and to the two doorposts the blood that is in the basin. And you shall not go out any man from the entrance of his house until morning. This blood has two aspects. One, it's the blood of the sacrifice of the lamb or the sheep, the goat, or sheep or goats. But the other is the blood of the circumcision that all of the Jewish people, except for the tribe of Levi, needed to produce. I shouldn't say Jewish people, all of the children of Israel during this period of slavery stopped doing the Brit, the circumcision. The tribe of Levi is the only tribe that continued doing the Brit, and they did so because they never went out into the slavery, into the hard labor. They continued to study Torah. They did all of the mitzvot that they knew about. It was all related to their connection to Hashem. So both of these bloods are mixed. And we need to understand that blood, which we would normally consider left column, and it is left column, but because the Brit Milah as a mitzvah is a right column energy. So we're not clear, more than likely it's the right column of the left column, but we haven't really established that or criteria for determining that.
And hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hyssop is used as a blood cleanser. You can take hyssop and make a tea out of it and drink it, and it detoxes, it cleanses your blood.
Yes, that is true, but it also has a more expansive cleansing than just blood. But that's you're raising the question as to why was hyssop used in dealing with this? And
yeah.
Why is hyssop used in the Ketoret? It's very much, hyssop is one of the cleansing, just as the sage is part of the cleansing.
Right. So actually they have three cleansings in. The hyssop, the Brit Milah, and what was the other one?
Sage.
Sage. Okay. So those were all kind of cleansing for that time for our people.
And all two of those three are used in the 11 components of the ketorah, of the incense.
Right.
So there are aspects of cleansing within the ketorah to bring you closer to Hashem.
Wow, first, that's all.
Thanks. Thank you for the comment. Verse 23. Hashem will pass to smite the Egyptians, and he will see the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts. And Hashem will pass over the entrance, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses to smite you. Now, there's a lot of interesting questions here from modern science. I'm sure they don't ask the questions in the same way. But the blood on the lintel has DNA within it. And that DNA, meaning of the circumcision, that DNA is establishing who has forefather of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so it's not that the Hashem is looking strictly at the lintel and saying, oh, these people have blood, because the Egyptians could have seen this is what was happening, and they could have copied it. So Hashem, to be certain, has to be able to see the DNA of a body. And it's also the idea that the destroyer is mentioned here, which is a word for the angel of death. But Hashem is the one who directs the angel of death. It's not that the angel of death is capable of seeing the DNA like Hashem is able to do. This is all my opinion, looking at these words and really questioning the actions on a deeper level, which I think is something we need to do. Verse 24. And you shall keep this matter as a statute for you and for your children forever. Now, which matter? That you circumcise your children? That you put something on your lintel, which is the doorpost? What is the statute forever? Now, we are told that after Mashiach, there's only going to be the holidays of Purim and Hanukkah. We're also told that there will be no need for any mitzvot. And here the Torah is telling us that this statute of the mezuzah will be forever. So there's an inconsistency in the teachings that needs to be resolved. And the way to resolve it is there will still be negative aspects, because we are not going to destroy the negative system. We're going to control the negative system. So there will be a demon or an angel, whichever word you wish to use, standing outside of our doorway as we walk out or walk in. And yes, we will be able to control it, but that control may still use the mezuzah. We don't know for sure. We have to wait till the Mashiach tells us. Verse 25. And it shall come to pass when you enter the land that Hashem will give you, as he spoke, that you shall observe this service. So the statute has to do with Pesach. But the statute also can be the mezuzah. And it will come to pass, if your children say to you, what is this service to you? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to Hashem, for he passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, and he saved our houses. And the people kneeled and prostrated themselves. What is the meaning of saving our houses? He saved the firstborn. And the firstborn at that time were responsible for the service to Hashem. It wasn't until the giving of the Torah that we made this transition where the Levites took over from the firstborn. Verse 28. So the children of Israel went and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. That's the end of the English translation. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a comment.
Go ahead, Penny.
You know, you were talking about Hashem being able to read our DNA. Well,
yes.
MIT has just developed a dye that they can inject in you and scan you with a light, and they're able to read your DNA.
Interesting.
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes. What's interesting is we've always been taught that the angel of death in the negative system does not have the ability to determine the difference between a firstborn and another level of the second or later children.
Right.
But we don't know which gene within the DNA sequence provides that. It has to be there. Because everything is encoded. We just haven't, you know, the science of DNA has not tried to find that. They've found where there's a Cohen gene, the priesthood, they're found where there's a Levy gene, but they haven't found the firstborn.
You know, while you were talking, I'm getting the number 23. That
well, you know what?
Go ahead.
The number 23 is the number of chromosome pairs in the DNA. The number 23 is the number of Hebrew letters after the Mashiach, because we have a tradition that says we will get an additional letter, that it will be revealed by the Mashiach. Although some say it's the four-branched shid that's on the housing of the tefillin head. Let's see if we... Go ahead. You're breaking up. Please start over.
You stated that the scientists haven't found the gene of the firstborn. So I guess what I'm thinking is that the firstborn has a additional gene that stays
in
the makeup.
Additional, it's not an additional gene. It's just there's a lot of information in the DNA that we, as our science, has not yet revealed. They can tell you, they think they can tell you what, where your ancestors came from. They think they can tell you that there were seven women that they, that are part of the gene pool, that were the start of the gene pool. There's lots of things they said, but they're not looking for the firstborn. It's not a priority in the world of science. If it was being managed by the Torah world, then they would be looking how to determine where that gene is. It's not an additional gene. It's just part of the gene sequence that we don't know yet. We haven't looked for it.
That are from the possibly the seven women that started the gene pool, and that's where the gene, the tracing of the gene would come from.
Yes.
I guess what I'm not. Okay.
That's not where all of the traits come from, because there are seven women, but there has to be an equivalent amount of men. And I've never heard that they've identified that, the male aspect. They've identified the female source. There are seven different women that are the source of every human being, which means there has to be a reduction of that seven to one woman that is the source. But that doesn't show up in their analysis. So I'm not sure what it means. There's a lot of theory. Go ahead.
Well, the one woman, that would be Eve. She started the gene pool, basically.
Yes. We would agree with that statement, but science doesn't. They say there were seven women. So who would that be?
Why? Mm-hmm.
Okay, according to the Bible, there's Eve, and there's three women associated with Cain and Abel. So that's four. And then there is the next one is the Seth. And so we're not sure if he has one twin sister or two. If he had two, then there would be six. Those were would be the six women out of the seven. We don't know how to relate to the seventh. What we do find interesting is that the seven women corresponds to the seven lower Sephirot. Why is it seven? It's just another indication of our world being controlled by the seven lower Sephirot and not the ten. Let's take a look at the next paragraph on Pirkei Avot. It's a short one. Tarnegolet omeret noten lachem. Lechem lekol basar ki leolam chazdo. This is a verse from Tehillim, from Psalms. The hen is saying, he gives bread to all flesh, for his kindness endures forever. This is a verse that is talking about parnassah, sustenance. It's interesting to note that we have seven verses for the rooster, but only one for the hen. But that the one for the hen is being the eighth idea of chickens. There are eight verses connected to chickens, seven of the rooster and one of the hen, which means we're talking about, according to the rooster, we're talking about the seven lower Sephirot. And the hen, because it's talking about Parnassah and his kindness enduring forever, It's connecting to the level of Bina, being the source of the all creation. And it's just an indication that what we all know is that the female is on a higher spiritual level than the male. Now, she can choose to fall to a lower level, which would be the Malchut level. But ultimately, her source is in the higher level of Bina. And we're out of time. Does anybody have any questions? We have three more classes today. We have a Sefer Yetzirah class at 11 a.m. We have a Deep Zohar at 4:30. And at 7 p.m., we have a regular Zohar. I hope you'll join us for one or all three. Have a beautiful afternoon and evening. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.